Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Arshas to Gaur Bhakta Vrindiki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Govinda Shyama Kunda Radha Kati Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadab Dham Ki Jai Ganga Jamana Tulsi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Ananda Gauri Vaishnava Vrindiki Jai Samavata Bhakta Vrindiki Jai Gopi Vrindam All glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to Sri Guru, Sri Guru, all glories to Sri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Buddhaya Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shinivari Pasa Tudesha Tarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 from Candles of Srimad Bhagavatam chapter 16 verse 25 Om Namo Bhagavate Mahapurushaya Mahanubhava Anubhavaya Mahavibhuti Pataye Sakala Satvata Parivrida Nikarakara Kamala Kudma Upalalita Charnara Vinda Yugala Parama Parameshtin Namaste. Translation. Oh, transcendental Lord, who are situated in the topmost planet of the spiritual world. Your two lotus feet are always massaged by a multitude of the best devotees with their lotus bud hands. You are the Supreme Personality of God in complete and six opulences. You are the Supreme Person mentioned in the Purusha Shakti prayers. You are the most perfect, self-realized master of all mystic power. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport is said that the absolute truth is one, but is manifested in different features as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. The previous verses describe Brahman and Paramatma features of the absolute truth. Now, this prayer is offered in Bhakti Yoga to the absolute supreme person. The words used in this regard are Sakala, Satvata, Parivrida. The word Satvata means devotees and Sakala means altogether. The devotees who also have lotus feet serve the lotus feet of the Lord with their lotus hands. The devotees may sometimes not be competent to serve the lotus feet of the Lord, and therefore the Lord's address is Parma Parameshtin. He is the Supreme Person, yet he is very kind to the devotees. No one is competent to serve the Lord, but even if a devotee is not competent, the merciful Lord accepts the humble attempt of the devotee. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, Narada, having become spiritual master of Chitraketu, instructed him fully in this prayer because Chitraketu was fully surrendered. O King Parikshit, Narada then left with the great sage Angira, the topmost planet known as Brahmaloka. Prabhupada, when Angira had first come to visit King Chitraketu, did not bring Narada with him. However, after the death of Chitraketu's son, Angira brought Narada to instruct King Chitraketu about Bhakti Yoga. The difference was that in the beginning, Chitraketu was not in a temperament of renunciation, but after the death of his son, when he was overwhelmed by his great plight, he was awakened to the platform of renunciation by the instruction regarding the falsity of this material world and material possessions. It is only at this stage that Bhakti Yoga can be instructed. As long as one is attached to material enjoyment, Bhakti Yoga cannot be understood. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Ogai Svaya Prasakta Anam Taya Prakrita Cheta Sam Vavasaya Makabudi Samadao Novidiyate. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence and were bewildered by such things, a resolute determination of devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. As long as one is very much attached to material enjoyment, one cannot concentrate his mind on the subject matter of devotional service. The Krishna consciousness movement is progressing successfully in Western countries at the present moment because the youth in the West have reached the stage of vairagya or renunciation. They're practically discussing material pleasure from material sources, and this has resulted in the population of hippies to the Western countries. Now, if these young people are instructed about bhakti yoga, Krishna consciousness, the instructions will certainly be effective. As soon as Chitraketu understood the philosophy of Vairagya Vidya, the knowledge of renunciation, he could understand the process of bhakti yoga. In this regard, Srila Sarvabhauvatacharya has said Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. Vairagya Vidya and Bhakti Yoga are parallel lines. One is essential for understanding the other. It is also said Bhakti Parishanu Bhavo Virakti Anyatra Cha. Advanced and devotional service of Krishna consciousness is characterized by increased renunciation of material enjoyment. Narada Muni is the father of devotional service and therefore just so causes mercy from King Chitraketu. Angira brought Narada Muni to instruct the king. These instructions were extremely effective. Anyone who follows in the footsteps of Narada Muni is certainly a pure devotee. So the previous section was the prayer to the Supreme Lord taught by Narada Muni to Chitraketu after he accepted the death of his son due to the instructions of his son himself, who came back and, though he didn't have his material life again in one sense, he came back and he instructed King Chitraketu about the futility of life. And then Narada Muni gives this these verses in praise of the Supreme Lord as a sadhana. So Prabhupada has remarked here in the purport about this process of bhakti, because Narada Muni, of course, is the incarnation, Shaktivesh avatar, empowered with bhakti, so he always teaches bhakti. The prayer is directed towards the Supreme Lord, even though Chitraketu's son generally just gave instructions on you're not the body and you're the Atma. So then Narada Muni came and gave instructions on worship the Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada said in this purport that unless one is qualified with detachment from material enjoyment and whatever, then one is not qualified for bhakti. However, in that case, no one is qualified for bhakti because everyone has material attachments. So we cannot take that statement absolutely. So therefore, we can take it that a statement means one is not too attached to material things. If one is completely absorbed in material enjoyment, yes, then one will have no interest at all in anything spiritual. Due to the circumstances where his son died and then his son came back and gave instructions, he developed some detachment. Even then, not perfect, but at least a detachment of some degree was there. Didn't mean all of his material attachments were gone. And so the qualification is not to be too materially attached and also not too detached. So extreme vairagya also is not favorable for bhakti. This is also mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Extreme vairagya will lead to not doing anything, not even serving the Lord. So in other words, unfavorable for bhakti and is more favorable for impersonalism and jnana and sankhya and those things. So too much detachment also is not good. Too much attachment obviously leads us into enjoyment in the material world, or into karma yoga and other things. So, therefore, the qualification is not too much attachment and not too much detachment. So there's some sort of balance. That's the qualification to begin bhakti. On the other hand, when bhakti is perfect, there is no attachment to anything in the material world. So that means vairagya is complete. So Prabhupada said there's a parallel line here of vairagya and bhakti. Vairagya vidya nitya bhakti yoga. This, however, does not mean that we simultaneously practice bhakti and we also practice vairagya as a separate
practice which is part of jnana. To do that would be contrary to bhakti. And in fact, in the Nectar Devotion, Rupa Goswami excludes vairagya, jnana, varnashram, and everything as part of bhakti. They're not angas of bhakti at all. They may be favorable somewhat in the beginning, that's what he says. But they cannot be emphasized too much, otherwise they become unfavorable for bhakti. And what he says is, this dry renunciation dries up the heart, withers the heart. Which means that it becomes unfavorable for bhakti by too much practice of renunciation, too much detachment. How is that? Because we see in prema, there's complete detachment. So the idea is that by practicing detachment, one becomes indifferent even to the Supreme Lord. One is more interested in stopping the senses, stopping action, getting rid of forms and qualities, etc. So in that process, we lose interest in the form, qualities, and activities of the Lord. So that also is very injurious to bhakti. So therefore, the vairagya as a practice is not allowed. Within bhakti, we do have some renunciation. Therefore, we have restrictions. You do this, you don't do this. For regulated principles, etc. We have fasts like ekadasi, or vratas. To that extent, we do vairagya. For instance, the fasting on ekadasi actually is for the pleasure of the Lord. It's not simply to become detached from things. It's actually to please the Lord. So in this way, it is also one anga of bhakti. So, therefore, yes, we do practice vairagya as part of bhakti, integrated as part of bhakti in certain vratas. In the beginning, one can practice a little renunciation, but one can be has to be careful that that does not become separate from the bhakti and become too prominent. So, the bhakti yoga itself is renunciation. Because if one becomes attached to the Lord, one must become detached from material things. Why? Because attachment to the Lord means we think only of the Lord's pleasure, not our own pleasure. So if we don't think of our own pleasure, that is attachment. So the greater the amount of bhakti, the less amount of material attachment. So by the progress of bhakti, vairagya automatically takes place. So this is called the natural process of vairagya, simply by practicing bhakti yoga itself. On the other hand, we do have principles like rejecting the unfavorable and accepting what is favorable. Okay? So anything we can accept, any principle we can accept that helps increase the bhakti. So in that sense, vairagya, which helps increase bhakti, yes, we can do varnashram, which helps increase bhakti, yes, we can do. But at a certain point, if we become too attached to those things, then we become unfavorable also. So we have to be very careful of those other items. So, in this way, bhakti becomes perfect by bhakti itself. It is an independent process. It does not depend on anything else. And it accomplishes the results of everything else. So, the result of varnashram is ultimately to become detached from everything and reach moksha. That is accomplished by bhakti, but that is not the goal of bhakti, obviously, because we don't want moksha. But it is accomplished in the sense that we become completely detached from everything when we reach prema. So that is, moksha is included in that. In other words, just like we say, we realize Bhagavan. If we realize Bhagavan, then we realize Paramatma and Brahman also. It's already attained. If we attain the Lord, we've already attained moksha. But we've gone beyond that. So therefore, bhakti gives the results of everything. Whatever you can achieve by karma yoga or jnana is attained by bhakti. So it doesn't depend on any other process. So, of course, as I said, favorable things can be accepted to a certain extent as long as they are helpful for the progress of bhakti. At a certain point, they may become unhelpful, and therefore they can also be rejected. So therefore, bhakti by itself is glorious, and even if not incorporating elements of other things like karma or jnana or yoga, still, one reaches the highest perfection. They're dependent on bhakti. If you don't know any bhakti, they don't get results. If the jnani refuses Krishna, he cannot get liberation. If the karma yogi worships devatas and doesn't worship Vishnu, he cannot get Swargaloka. If he offends Vishnu, he cannot get Swargaloka. So there's some dependence on bhakti of these other processes. Yeah. Bhakti is non-different from Krishna. It's a Swarup Shakti.
Maharaj, in today Kerala, we celebrate Pali Maharaj returning back to his kingdom every year. It's called one of them. Someone just asked like here, Bali's case, Lord is asking Bali, give me. The devotee gives it. Now the Lord is asking how that bhakti has been. Lord is demanding it, give me. It has to come from the devotee wanting to give to the Lord.
Well, the reason he asked for the land was because Bali had taken all this away from the devatas, and the devatas were out of the kingdom, so he had to get some means of giving back the kingdom. Now this, of course, is the pastime of helping the devatas. Now the other pastime is getting Bali to surrender. So two things were accomplished, getting the kingdom back for the devatas. The Lord has no interest in a kingdom, obviously. He doesn't need anything in the material world. But Indra wants the kingdom, so he wants to get the kingdom. On the other hand, Bali surrendered in this process. And when he was asked by the Lord, he gave, in spite of the objection of Sukracharya. He said, don't do this, we know Vishnu's there, and he's going to cheat you. Still, he did it. Because he was actually a devotee of the Supreme Lord, and he had faith in the Supreme Lord, and he practiced Atma Nivedana, giving everything to the Lord. So therefore, this was an opportunity for surrendering everything to the Lord. So the Lord simply provided an opportunity for him. Is eating and remembering Krishna equal to fasting and remembering Krishna? Well, if you eat prasadam, that is an anga of bhakti also. And if you do fasting on avrata, like a karasi, that is also an anga of bhakti. So they're equal in that sense. How do we understand the extreme detachment of Raghunath Das Goswami? Well, as I said, detachment is automatically accomplished by bhakti. So the Prem Bhakta has no attachment to anything in the material world. That's all. So he's got extreme vairagya. So he's not practicing to show off anything. He's not practicing to control the senses. He is simply uninterested in everything except the Supreme Lord. Because he's so absorbed in the Lord, he has no interest in anything else. So therefore, vairagya is automatically there. Not only Raghunath Das Goswami, but all of the Goswamis were similar. Could be some Puranic story, not quoted by the Goswamis anyway.
Also in Bali Maharaj's case, incident took place in the Balimara's rural kingdom of Kerala. What the pastime took place in different places, I probably could understand.
Where did it take place? It's not quite mentioned, but Bali was in control of the whole universe at that time, or at least up to Swargaloka. So where he was residing at that time.
Narantarasi Srimad Bhagavatam ki. As well as Bhagavan Maharaj ki. Thank you.